pre-written that note, or you just did that quick? Pre-written? Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, right? All right, have you ever heard of the 127 yard sale? Ever heard about this? Like, I never heard about it. So we were at Hay Creek Festival yesterday, and, you know, they have all the yard sale type of stuff going, flea market and yada, yada, all that stuff, yard sale, rummage sale, whatever you want to call it. So I was looking at some jokes for some yard sales and this and that, and I came across this thing called the 127 yard sale, and it was kind of fascinating. So you guys get to enjoy with this fascination with me. So the 127 yard sale started in 1987, and it's a yard sale that lasts for 4 days, and it goes through 6 states. It's crazy. So it's like starts in Alabama or ends in Alabama, wherever you want to start or finish, and it goes up to Michigan. So it goes through 6 states, and it's this big event. Like it's like, so people come out. It's kind of like this party atmosphere, and people are, it's probably like a big tailgate thing in certain areas, right? So, and so people now have actually, like, part of their vacation is to go down this route, the 127 yard sale. I can see Bonnie and Tom doing this, right? You hit the Buc-ee's along the way, and then you hit the yard sale. So it's, but it's, I forget how many vendors, but it's huge. It hits 6 states. So if you want to plan on that, it's, 4 days, it's 690 miles, and the next one starts August 6th through the 9th in 2026. So, Bob, you can be a vendor. It's like, that'd be cool to be a vendor. But anyway, so that's the 127 yard sale. Now you know that story. So, what kind of markets do dogs like? Don't like. Can't read my, huh? Flea markets, you got it, Ford. Top of your game. Top of your game when you're turning 65. Yeah. Where can you buy a ruler that is 3 feet long? At a yard sale. Yep. So, you know, jade in a yard is how many feet? 3. Okay. We went up the other day. We were stepping stuff out. Anyhow, where can you buy a, What is good and bad about a garage sale at a boathouse? We drove down to Philly. Huh? They don't have a yard. It's always an or deal. Oh, it's always an or deal. You get a deal. Yeah, Allie loved that one. So, yeah, so we drove down Boathouse Row. We were going down to Philly this week, and I had to throw in a good or joke. But anyway, let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for laughter. We thank you for just fun. We thank you for the joy that you give us, Lord. Even through when things are hard in people's life and medical problems and health problems and stuff that goes on, Lord, we know that you provide us joy and that you can provide us with the never-ending joy that we get from you, even though many times we forget to look towards you as we should, Lord. Speak to us this morning, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture that you really touched me with, and help us to just speak to us in that same way that you showed me, Lord. Help me to speak this correctly so we can be better servants of you. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing in Acts. We kind of got off track a little bit because I didn't know where this was going, but this past week I was kind of thinking and pondering this passage of Scripture, and it kept changing in my mind and my soul, and I was like, I keep pulling back this onion, right, of what does this mean? What does this mean? And I kept looking at it, and I was like, this is really cool, right? So we're going to be looking at Acts 14, picking up again on Acts 14. We stopped in Acts 14, so we've been in Acts following Barnabas and Paul, and we left Barnabas and Paul last week where they were preaching the gospel. They got stoned, not in the 60s or 70 sense, but they got stoned, you know, the other way, and they fled. So now they're fleeing again. Okay, so they're fleeing, and we pick up here in Acts 14, verse 8. And it starts off and says in Lystra, I always want to say Listeria, the food business, right? I think I said that last week. I was like, Listeria, where'd that come from? But when in the food business, you're always testing for a lot of different bacteria and microbes, and Listeria is one of those ones that you test for because it can kill you. So they weren't in Listeria, they were in Lystra. There sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked at him directly, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Peter had done, they shouted in the Lasonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff going on in this passage. And look at this. Number one, I wanted to kind of really focus in and look at the very thing that happened here of this lame man. Okay, this lame man. What happened? Very first in verse 8. The lame man, and he never walked. So this guy was lame. Never walked. He wasn't crippled by a farming accident. He wasn't crippled by a work accident. He wasn't crippled through some type of medical procedure. He never walked. He had, so what does that know about your legs, right? If you've never walked, your muscles in your legs are what? They're not there. You can't do it. Like, we've seen people, and I know people that have never walked or haven't walked for years, and there's no muscle. Right, you don't use the muscle. So this man, and what amazed me here, and this is what I wanted to really look at. So the message today is a good gone bad. So we start off with this good thing that happened. This guy gets healed, and what amazes me here is he listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed. And that's where my question number one came in of, what did Paul see? Right? He saw Paul, no, yeah, looked at the man, and he saw that he had the faith to be healed. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? Like, what did Paul see? Did he look, like, What does that look like? So it just kind of blew my mind, like that Paul could see this faith from this man. And the faith from this man, not that he, you know, on one leg and someone helped him. Scripture tells us that the man jumped up. So the faith in this man, that he just didn't crawl over, get up like that after you, you know, your back and you get stiff. He jumped up after never walking in his entire life. So this guy's faith was enormous. And Paul saw this faith that he had to be healed. That's, we're going to go back to this question. Okay. That's the good. Then we start to turn into this bad. We're going to end with the good, but then we go to the bad. So then all these people that saw this, they saw this take place. All this, oh my goodness, Paul and Barnabas, these guys, they're not human, they're gods. They're gods. It's Zeus and Hermes, this mythological gods of Greece, right? So all of a sudden, these people were coming out to look at them saying, you're gods. We want to come before you and worship you and sacrifice to you. And all of a sudden, Paul and Barnabas were like, whoa, hold back, boys. You know, we're just human. We're just people. Kind of, so it's a reality check here. Because you think about this. Paul and Barnabas, were they wealthy guys? No. Did they run big businesses that they had full bank account to be able to travel? No. Did they have money out of their pocket from their fishing business or their tent making business? No. They were apostles getting by, paying their bills, walking, doing what? Serving the Lord, preaching the gospel. That's what they were doing. Paul and Barnabas all reached out to this guy. The guy got healed. Healed the man through. And then the people then came out and said, they're gods. They called them Zeus, you know, and Paul and Barnabas, how they turned it. So Zeus, right? Zeus was the god. Zeus was, let me just kind of pull this out. He was the god, he was the king of gods. His symbol is thunder, the bolt of thunder, an eagle, and a bull. He was kind of like, he ruled the sky, he ruled the weather. He was full of justice and hospitality. So that was Zeus. And it's interesting, not to get all crazy on you, but the symbols there are the eagle and the bull. Which two of those are big in our country, eagle, and then of course with the financial systems that we have, we always see the bull. So those same type of principles were taking place here from Zeus. That's what they symbolize. So Paul then, when he comes back to tell them, he comes back and tells these guys and uses the attributes to present the gospel further to the crowd, of the same attributes that Zeus had, to present the gospel to them in a way, to try to get their mind off of who these guys are, that we're just humans. And what does he say? In verse 14 to 15, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their language. Verse 12, verse 14, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God. And then he goes in, now what they already knew of Zeus, what they already understood of these gods, of Zeus and Hermes, and he presents that the attribute God is. Right? So this is who made heaven and earth. Zeus was also what? Zeus was king of the king of all gods, and Zeus was weather. And he continues in verse 15, and see, and everything in them, that God, the true God, made these things, not Zeus, the true God made these things, and he presents to them in something, a way that they would understand who God is, because they understood Zeus, and they understood Hermes, and they called Paul Hermes because the God of Hermes. Did you ever see those symbols where the guy has like wings on his feet? That kind of the God Hermes. He was real quick. He was real fast guy, and he was the God of like language and these and commerce and transportation. Like that's so Paul was the speaker. So that's why they told him, hey, you're the God, you're Hermes. So now stepping back. So Paul and Barnabas were rich guys. All the wealth in the world because they followed Jesus. So when you follow Jesus, aren't you rich? You get everything you want, right? It's because Jesus is going to give us everything, right? No, that's not how it works, is it? So Paul and Barnabas weren't men of great wealth. They got by. They went from town to town with the money that people have given them to travel or through their own efforts, like Paul as a tent maker, right? And they continued to walk that way and preach that way and move that way. So now we have a good. And then turn to this bad, because this bad here is what can really change people. So the good was a man got healed through his faith. The bad was all of a sudden, boom, this trickery, this deception comes in, and the crowd now calls Paul and Barnabas gods. Paul and Barnabas at that time, all of a sudden this deception, this temptation, think about that. Two guys, not of much money. And all of a sudden, they could have been gods. They could have had anything they wanted. They could have stepped back, and you see how Satan kind of rolls right into it. Like he saw someone get healed. Satan saw people that were starting to understand the gospel. So Satan now throws this out as a temptation to Paul and Barnabas, saying, you guys could have anything, right? That's then going to a question to Christian leaders. Because we know, and we've talked about it before, of all the men in working in ministry, if it's as a preacher, if it's as an evangelist, if it's as Paul and Barnabas were here as evangelists and apostles, and the same thing happened here. This temptation of they could have had anything they want. And our human nature comes out in our current culture. We said, I remember Jim Baker. So Jim Baker, if some of you don't know, younger generation, Jim Baker was this evangelist on TV. He always had stuff going, and I'd always watch it and go, how can people like believe, like, what's going on with these people? Yeah. But people followed the guy. And they watched his ministry. And I probably, I truly believe at one point he truly loved the Lord. You know, he truly probably wanted to serve Christ and have people come to the Lord. And then all of a sudden with this fame and this wealth and this, the material things of the world kind of sucked him in. He and his wife, and they started cheating people out of money and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And they got into basically a very sinful lifestyle, but they probably didn't start that way. They saw like everything they could have, right? Same thing happened to Jimmy Swaggart. Same type of thing. We see on and on, we hear these great people that probably start, well, I'm not saying great, as they're, but we hear these people that have fame of promoting the gospel. And then you have some people like Billy Graham. He set up this structure around him that he wouldn't allow himself to fall into those temptations. He wouldn't even get into an elevator with a woman by herself. Like, he was very in what he did, so, because he knew the temptations that we all have, right? And I'm telling you, like, you know me, you know I'm in business. I think of this and I'm like, man, if someone came and said, you can have anything you want. You know, because sometimes, what do? I'm working, I'm in business, I'm chasing the dollar, right? I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm in business, I'm chasing the dollar, I have bills to pay. And you think, like, wow, these guys were out there serving the Lord, and this opportunity came before them through this temptation, and they could have easily said, we're going to step back and be gods here and take everything they want. Okay. That takes us back to the good. This takes us back to a self-check, a faith self-check. It's kind of like this. Tom, when you worked on cars, were you around when they were plugging the cars in the machine, doing all the diagnostics? And so you did that, right? They plugged the machine in and it tested the car on all. So for our cars, they do a self-diagnostic testing. You plug the thing in there. I just had it with our refrigerator. I told you the saga, going back to our saga, the refrigerator. So the refrigerator, the guys came to fix it. They came in with all their tools, electronic gizmos, checking stuff out. They welded stuff in, all this other stuff. And it worked for a little bit. Didn't work then. And they had to come back another part because they had to come in and they did a test. They tested to see what was working and what wasn't working. They did this test. Okay. Now, in verse 8, takes me back to this man of faith. The man that had faith to be healed. What did Paul see in this man to know that he had the faith to be healed? Because Scripture says he saw it. He saw it, this faith. Takes us over to Romans. Romans chapter 10. We're going to read here from 17 down to 20. Out into all the world, all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. So we're going to come back to this right here. Specifically, 17. This is where I got hung up all week. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Bam, I got hung up on that. Why? Jump, and you don't have to turn, but I'm going to read here. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul tells us once again, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Uh-oh. Big problem. A self-examination. This can be a problem for us, can it? When we actually have to step back and look at ourselves, look at our faith life, look at our, how are we dealing? How are we working? How are we functioning in our spiritual life on how we should be as Christians? That's what this is. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? I'm supposed to test myself. And read it one more time. Examine yourself, Jeff. Examine yourself, everyone here, to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Wow. A self-examination. And my question was, how do you know? How do I know where my faith level is? Because sometimes I feel like, man, I'm living on faith. I have full faith. And then other times I'm like, I'm so faithless, you know? Don't you do that, the juggling act of people? We're like, man, I have faith. And then all of a sudden something happens and our faith goes down to the ground and we're like, and we're just, because we're human. So how can our faith grow? How can we test our faith? Good question, isn't it? How do we test it? How do we know? How can our faith build? How can we be like this man who heard Paul, and I don't know what Paul said. I don't know what they said to him, but he probably heard the stories, right? He probably heard the stories. Paul come and Barnabas come in. They start talking about who Jesus Christ was, and they heard like, hey, in this last town, which we read about last week, they were doing miracles. God showed and confirmed their apostleship by confirming who they were, that they were God's men. These apostles, because they actually performed miracles. Did this guy hear that? Kind of like we talked about this summer. The woman who had the bleeding problem for 12 years, who was walking through, Jesus bumped around all sorts of people. I don't know if she crossed through, and she, you know, she was probably in a weak state because of her bleeding problem for 12 years. And Jesus stopped after all these people were bouncing around him and crushing up against him. He felt the power come out of him to heal this woman. That woman, this man, had that same faith. Do we want that faith? So we have to do a self-check. A self-check on me. That's why I sat there last night up till 2 in the morning. This question. And I don't know, maybe you're much smarter than me. I get that. It happens quite a bit in my house. There's a lot of people smarter than me, but I just kept milling this question over. This statement, back to Romans. Faith comes from hearing the message. Okay, I get that. I understand that. This guy heard the message. The lame man who got healed heard the message. Faith comes by hearing the message, right? There's people out there preaching the message. The apostles went town to town preaching the message all through the last, after Christ died, and even the prophets before that were preaching the message. The message has been the same message for thousands of years about our Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is our salvation. That message has been constant, 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 constant. So, but not everyone believes, do they? Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The message is heard. This is what really jammed me up last night. I understand hearing. Okay, we can get the hearing. Because that's so human, right? You can who can hear me right now? Bob can hear me? Okay, Bob can hear me. Atlee can hear me. So we understand hearing. That, because it's a human trait that this, and to me, this is so unhuman. The next part. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. The message is heard through the word of Christ. Mean. I mean, do you ever think about that? Like, what does that really mean? And that's what I was thinking about. What does that really mean? Like, yeah, I've read this a million times. I've read this verse a million times. I've heard this verse. What does it mean? And that's when I step back and it just meant something. What I can hear, but heard. And then it takes us back when we talked about that predestination piece, that non-understandingism. I'm going to kind of throw that out into this piece. The message, just like the Jews, Paul and Barnabas would go into the synagogue. They would present the message. And the message that went to the Jews of Jesus Christ being the Messiah and the Savior they heard it, but they didn't hear it. You see what I'm saying? They heard it. But their hearts were what? Their hearts were like stone. Their mental capacity and their spiritualness was not capable of understanding that Jesus, they couldn't accept it, that Jesus was the Messiah. So they heard the message, but they didn't hear the message. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's kind of why I got hung up. So that takes it to that predestined piece that we talk about. That people can only come to Christ just like this says. Just like this says. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Message when people, the Paul and Barnabas were out preaching, when there's good pastors and preachers all around out preaching. And they're just giving the word today, right? Except the Twin Valley Bible Chapel because they're closed down. So, but they're always preaching the gospel, right? That's what they do there too. So they're preaching the gospel. People hear it, but they don't hear it. Some people hear it and they hear it. Some people hear it and they don't hear it. Their hearts are stone. The people that hear it are those people that, that's when you get into like the chosen, the commissioned, the ones that God knows that they're going to hear it. God knows that they're going to be the ones that accept me as the Savior. And I don't know, and you don't know who that person is supposed to go out and tell them. So we tell them, they're going to hear it, and some of them aren't going to hear it. Some of them are going to get mad, and then some of them are going to be tricked and deceived, just like was going on in this story. That deception of that twisting and the turning. So the self-check. Where is your faith? Where is my faith? This faith that can only come by the hearing through the word of Christ. So how does our faith grow? If we're, so self-check. Go back and do a self-examination this week. I struggled with this thing all week, and I hope you struggle with this question all week. Where is my faith? I say I'm a believer, but am I really a believer? Do I have the faith that I should have the faith as a believer? I might have been a Christian for 50 years. You might have been a Christian for 1 year. You might have been a Christian for 5 years. I don't know. Self-check this week on your faith. Because our faith, if we're not living by faith as a Christian, we have a spiritual problem, right? We have a spiritual problem if we're not living by faith as Christians, because we're called to live by faith. So how do we grow our faith? After you do the self-check, how do we grow by faith? Scripture tells us right here, there's only one way that you can grow by faith. Get your faith to grow. Faith comes from hearing the message. That's where faith comes from. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. So the only way we can have our faith increased is by us spending time in God's word and praying to our Savior and understanding what He is telling us. That's the only way our faith can grow. It's like this. If you know a stranger, stranger danger, right? You go up to the stranger, you tell your kids, don't talk to strangers. Because they're strange. I mean, people tell their kids not to talk to me all the time. He's strange. But if you have a stranger, you say, you don't know him. You're not going to talk to him that much. But once you get to know them, you spend time with them, you communicate with them, all of a sudden they're not a stranger anymore, right? So many times as Christians, we come to church on Sunday and that's it. We're living the stranger life in our faith. We're not really spending time with God. We're not opening God's word. This is what Scripture tells us right here. And that's what I realized. This is the only way we can get our faith from baby infant stage to grow to this great mountain of faith. It's not about the money. It's not about like the stuff. Like it's not about like our Christian walk is about our faith, because hearing through the word of Jesus Christ, hearing through the word, our faith grows by us digging into this book, praying to God, right? That's how our faith grows. That's where this self-check. Going back to 2 Corinthians 13. As we finish. Church, examine yourself. Jeff, examine yourself, Jeff, to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourself, John. Justin, Gretchen, Jivian, Atlee, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Test yourself. This week is a test week. Test your faith. Step back. Spend some time with God. Open His Word. Pray to our Savior. Ask that the Spirit will reveal Himself on where our faith is. That's the test. And then let's see if we're lacking. I know, man, I'm telling you right now, I'm lacking. My faith needs to be so much more than what it is. Right? Amen? I mean, we're all there. We're people. We need to test ourselves. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, this week, I just don't want people to leave and hear a message, because we hear messages all the time and it's like it affects us, me included. Lord, I just pray this week, as we self-examine, a step back to self-examine our life, our purpose with you, our faith, our spiritual life. Lord, help us self-examine. And I know for me, Lord, am I just running for the dollar? Am I just running to increase business? Am I just running to do whatever? I need to self-check. And I know there's nothing wrong with being involved in business and everything else, but we all need to self-check. Are we where we should be? Can we be better? Can we honor you more? Can we present the gospel message more? That people can hear us present the message. And what they do with it is up to you and them. help us, Lord. Help us to self-examine this week. Help us to get a check on our faith life. Are we where we should be? That's my prayer, Lord. I pray that your Spirit will convict us this week. And if we forget, that we'll, it somehow will remind us, that you will remind us, that you'll prompt us to think about this. Because, Lord, I truly believe that you, that everybody in here wants to love you better, wants to serve you better, wants to have a faith better. Help us to start the process with a self-check. Lord, I pray. And I pray. Amen. As we leave. Yep. Yep, I know you can pull it out and read it all the way. Yep, do the self check. Yeah, I can't think about anybody else. I have to look at me, right? I'm looking at me. As we leave, the Lord statement that everyone knows in this church. I hope you know. If you don't know, you can say it with us. It's not the Lord's Prayer we're going to say today, but we're going to stand and we're going to give the statement that Jesus gave, and we can do it all together. And this is the statement, because we need to remember this. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? People, I don't know, I got so choked up all of a sudden. Just thinking of people. People, they don't know what they're doing. They're deceived. We have the answer, right? We have that answer. Stay with me. Luke, you can find this in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Say this together. Father, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Amen. We're dismissed. There's coffee and ever there for food.